Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Allen Park, Michigan, and earned a BA in psychology from Oakland University. In 1981, she became a weathercaster and science editor for WEYI in Flint, Michigan. Later, she was a TV news anchor in West Palm Beach, New York City, and then Miami. Since 1997, she's been the founder of Women of Tomorrow Mentor and Scholarship Program. A multi-Emmy Award winner, her name, Jennifer Vellapi. And I'm Jack Crisula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Crisula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to a most extraordinary person, Jennifer Vellapi, who for the last 20 years has been the founder of Women of Tomorrow Mentor and Scholarship Program. Jennifer, welcome. A real honor to have you.
Oh, Jack, it's an honor to be on your show. Thank you for having me.
Can we start by talking about your childhood in Allen Park, Michigan, and your mom and your dad, please?
Well, I grew up in Allen Park. I lived there my whole life till I was about 18 years old. I graduated from the high school. I went to Benny Elementary. I went to South Junior High and North Junior High when they had two junior highs, and then went to Allen Park High, where I lived down the street and used to get up and walk to school every morning. And one of actually the coolest things that happened in my life was when I was anchoring the news in New York. This was before I started the Women of Tomorrow Mentor and Scholarship Program, but I was anchoring the news in New York, and I got called by my old principal, Principal Mitchell, and he asked me if he could put me in their Hall of Fame in the high school. So I understand that there is still a plaque on the high school with a photo of me where I was inducted into the Allen Park High School Hall of Fame, which was like super cool for me. So I went back for that and spoke to the graduating class, and that was something that when I was in high school I would have never ever in my life thought was going to happen. So it was that was quite an honor.
The word in Allen Park is that they're thinking about a statue of you as well. Could that happen?
Oh, I don't think so. I don't think so.
What's the biggest thing you learned from Mom, and what's the biggest thing you learned from Dad?
Oh, geez. Well, I don't know the best way to put this, but my parents were always religiously very open. And so we were always of the Christian belief system, but they always had friends from many different and diverse backgrounds, and they always embraced diversity. And the one thing I believe that my parents taught me, that my mother taught me in particular, was the most important thing you can ever do is have a personal relationship with God. And it's not always so much about the religion and the various teachings of all the religious practices, because they all have really good things and they all have some negative things. But it's about a personal relationship with God. And that's something that has driven me through my entire life and something that's been extremely important to me. And that definitely came from my mother and my grandmother, who was an Armenian immigrant and survived the genocide of the Armenians, and when the Turks were massacring the Armenians back in World War One, at the beginning, actually just before World War One, I think we were around 1917, and that was those were two things from two very important women in my life that really shaped and guided everything I ever did. From my father's standpoint, my father always said, you know, you can be anything you want, just don't be dumb. You know, go out there and do what you want. And he used to say it all the time. He used to say, Jennifer, you can be anything you want. And that was something that I was always super close to my father, and I always looked up to my father. And so that was very, very meaningful for me and certainly drove me through my life. I never looked at women's issues as being problematic. I looked at them as problems to overcome.
Speaking of being anything you want, Jennifer, How was it you chose to major in psychology at Oakland University?
Well, I've always loved to figure out what motivated people. Just to kind of back up a little bit, I mean, I started the Women of Tomorrow Mentoring Scholarship Program, but I really started it because I was an at-risk kid myself. And having been considered an at-risk kid myself, I knew what it took to get me out of that. I knew what it took to make me a different person, to make me want to take my life in a very positive direction. And that was sort of stuff that all led to Women of Tomorrow, but also that also led me to psychology. And it was all the things that I learned in psychology, because I was a psych major studying psychology of women and also adolescence and getting ready to go to law school when I got into television. But it was what I learned in those psych classes, and especially in psychology of women and adolescence, that led me to create the foundation for the Women of Tomorrow Mentor and Scholarship Program. So everything in Women of Tomorrow, there are no random elements. You know, it seems like a fairly simple concept, but it's actually a very complicated concept. Well, no, it's not a complicated concept. It's a very specific concept with very specific reasons that we do things to get very specific outcomes. And those are all based on the research that I learned at Oakland University when I was studying psych. And, you know, psych of women in many ways, you know, changed my life and changed my outlook on women and how we were to function best in society.
You graduate with a psych degree from Oakland University, and then you decide, I want to be in TV. And in 1981, somebody took a chance on you. What happened?
Well, okay, so it was actually kind of an interesting story, because I was, again, getting ready to go to law school, but I had finished 4 years of college in approximately 2.5 years. But then I figured, well, you know, I'm going to do this for the rest of my life. I'd really rather do something a little more fun. And I always loved to write. Writing was the one thing that has been consistent in my life, whether it was psychology, law, television. You know, I've also obviously written a couple of books, and writing has been the one thing that I always loved to do. So I thought, well, maybe someone would give me a shot at television. So I put together a tape, and I went to WEYI in Flint, Michigan, and Jerry said, come on out, and I'll talk to you. And that was all I wanted, was somebody to talk to me. I was laying on the floor of my apartment, and the phone rang, and I picked it up, and it was Jerry. And I said, he said, I've got good news and bad news. He said, the bad news is I can't pay you very much, but the good news is you got the job. I was the happiest person on the planet. And to this day, I remember that feeling. I remember that moment. And one of the things I share with our mentees all the time is, for all the people who will tell you you can't do something, it only takes one person to tell you you can. Everyone told me I was crazy to try and get into television. Everyone told me I didn't know anyone who did this. I knew nothing about it. No one was ever going to give me a shot. It was never going to happen. Why was I wasting my time? It took me about 5 months to get this job of diligently working at it. But you know what? I got it. And then when I went to go to law school the following September, things had been going really well. I had just started in, I got the job actually in January. I started, and when September came along, I went and I registered for all my classes at Wayne, I believe. And I registered for all my classes. And then, like the last day, Wayne would not allow me, they would not allow me to go to school full time law school and hold a full time job. And they wouldn't allow part time law school for your first year. So I said, you know what, I can always go back to law school, but I can't always get back into television. And it was going really well. So I stayed in the business and ended up on television for 28 years of my life. And, you know, I have to credit a lot of it to Jerry Jensen.
He's changed the lives of thousands of young girls because of that. And I'm Jack Rasula. We're with Jennifer Volopian. This is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula, and we're with Jennifer Volopian, who started off in Flint, Michigan, telling us about the weather. Too many snowstorms, Jennifer. Then you get a job at West Palm Beach for 3 years. Then you go to New York City. You become a news anchor at WWOR-TV. Talk about those 6 years in New York City, please.
Yeah, I think I was in New York a little longer than that. I think it turned out to be about 8 years total. But I was also in Los Angeles for a couple of years and back and forth between New York and L.A. I mean, New York was a wonderful experience. I had you know, when I was doing the news in Flint, when I was doing the weather in Flint, Jerry also gave me an opportunity to, I asked him if I could be like a science editor because I always loved science and medical stuff. I said, could I be like a science editor since I'm, you know, doing the weather? Would it be consistent so that I could get out there and do reporting and learn how to be a reporter and really learn journalism, you know, on the street? So he gave me that opportunity. So not only was I the science editor for a while at WEYY, but I was also anchoring the early morning cut-ins on the CBS News back in those days. And so that sort of gave me the ability to get a job as a news anchor in West Palm Beach, where I did everything from, you know, anchoring the news to medical reporting, On Your Side. I became an investigative reporter. I got a guy out of the electric chair in Florida, which was really after a long investigation, which was one of my greatest accomplishments, I think, ever in my professional career, where he had been wrongly accused of killing a SWAT team member. And then that is really probably what propelled me to New York. And I got the job in New York, and I was the main anchor there. I did a variety of things. I also had a lot of these weekend political shows, and I had a show for a while called Money, Power, and Influence. Then I took a little tiny bit of a break and went to Los Angeles and did some celebrity interviews for NBC News and did some shows for the Travel Channel, which were kind of like a vacation for me. But the bulk of my career was anchoring the news and you know, always with a, you know, with a tough edge. I mean, I covered most of the major events of the last 20 years in my career. I mean, the Shuttle Challenger explosion, the breakout of the first Gulf War. And we were at, when I was at WWOR, we were nationwide on cable. So we functioned more as a network than a local television station, although we were a local New York, New Jersey television station. So that was a wonderful experience. And New York will always be my home in many ways, as well as Detroit and South Florida. Those are places that I'm most comfortable in the world. So
in 1997, you follow another dream, and you found Women of Tomorrow. Tell us about Women of Tomorrow Mentor and Scholarship Program, please.
Yeah, well, I had come to, there's a guy by the name of Don Brown. He was the former vice president of NBC Network. And Don had been, I knew him from New York, and he had been trying to recruit me to work at the network. And then at one point, he came down because his family was always in South Florida. So at one point, he came to Miami to run the NBC-owned and operated television station here in Miami. And when he came down here, he asked me, I was actually off shooting some shows in Italy, and he asked me if I would come and help him turn the television station around. So I said, sure. So I came down. I was supposed to be here for like a year to help him turn the station around, and we did a little too good of a job, and he didn't want to let me go. We became the number one station like within a couple of months, and he instituted a lot of different changes, and it was, he's a very powerful, wonderful television professional. And so then I ended up getting married and pregnant and all these other things, and I stayed in South Florida. And when it looked like I was going to stay here, I said to him, you know, Don, there's something that I've always wanted to do. And I was always very active in all the charitable organizations locally, whether it was New York or, you know, Miami or you know, West Palm Beach. I was always, involved in a lot of different organizations. And I said, but, you know, there was always one that I wanted to create myself. And it was about, you know, women helping women. And it was based on all the information that I had all those years ago at Oakland University. And one of the things that was very curious that I learned at Oakland University. There was a professor by the name of Dr. Ginny O'Leary, and she taught psychology of women, and she really changed my life in many ways. And one of the things that was clear was that the real problem with equality between men and women is not so much that women, that men think women are inferior. The problem is that women agree. And then when women do get to the top, they like being the only one there, and they don't do anything to help other young women along. And I was astounded by that piece of information and that research. And what's crazy about it is, you know, a million years ago when I graduated from college, that research was done. It's still just as true every time they do the research today as it was all those years ago. So in 1997, I went to Donna and I said, you know, I had this idea for a program to uplift the lives of at-risk young girls. And he said, let's go for it. And he is my co-founder. He is the co-founder of the Women of Tomorrow Mentoring Scholarship Program. He threw the weight of the television station behind it. I invited 23 of the most accomplished professional women in South Florida into the television station for a little dinner. I explained how I wanted to do this unique kind of mentoring program with group mentoring. It's not a traditional one-on-one kind of mentoring program. And I asked them all to be involved, and they all said yes. And that was 1997. We started with 23 women in six public high schools in Miami-Dade and one in Broward. And today we are in almost 200 public high schools in virtually all of South Florida, Detroit, Philadelphia. We're mentoring about 4,500 girls a year. It's been a life-changing program. We're just finishing our 20th year of mentoring. I never thought I'd say that. And you know, we've probably put like 15,000 girls through the program so far. So it's been pretty amazing.
Throughout the years with this show, I've had a lot of guests on that work with inner-city kids, and they all talk about mentoring. Jennifer, when we were kids, did we have mentors, and who were they?
Well, I think we all had mentors. Not everybody has mentors, but I know I had mentors. And, you know, I mentioned my grandmother earlier. My grandmother was my mentor in many ways. I mean, it was my grandmother who, you know, suffered through the genocide, had her whole family killed, and yet bore no malice in her heart, you know, to, you know, anyone, you know, alive today that didn't specifically take part in it, and was, you know, just the greatest woman. I mean, she had never really done anything outside of the home or anything like that, but she taught me so many of my values and you know, the important things in life. You know, that she was definitely a mentor on a, I guess, more of a spiritual level. And then the law firm that I worked at, there was a lawyer in particular who was very much a mentor of mine. And it was not a woman. There weren't any lawyers that were women at the law firm when I worked there. There were 20 lawyers, and none of them were women. There was one female law clerk. But I was certainly mentored by people over the years. I was personally never mentored by women. And that was something that always bothered me. And when I was in television my entire career, I mentored young people, whether they were male or female, but, you know, young reporters that would come into the stations wherever I was, you know, I pretty much mentored them, and including a lot of women. But women are very mistrustful of other women who and you know, when you say that women don't support each other, especially if you say that to a bunch of female lawyers, they all nod their head yes. I mean, I speak to a lot of professional groups, and when I say that, they all go, yeah, yeah. They all know, you know, women don't necessarily support each other. So that was why I created Women of Tomorrow, was about women helping women. And I always made it a point in my life to mentor other people. And I know I was mentored, but just not in a formal way. And I'm sure you were mentored, too. Come on, Jack. Who mentored you?
Oh. The neighbors, the little league coach, everybody. So,
exactly.
I don't know how much of it sunk in, but so we were blessed. We're talking to Jennifer Vellapi. If you want to learn more, www.womenoftomorrow.org. Womenoftomorrow.org. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Vasula. We're with Jennifer Vellapi, who 20 years ago founded Women of Tomorrow Mentor and Scholarship Program. You've transformed the lives of 15,000-plus young girls at risk over these last 20 years. When you meet a 30, 35-year-old woman today who said, Jennifer, you changed my life. Here's how. What do you think?
Well, it's our mentors who changed their lives. We have a network of over 500, you know, probably closer to 1,000 highly accomplished professional women who actually go into the schools on a day-to-day basis and do the mentoring. And they are the life changers. The program succeeds because of them. I used to mentor all the time when the program first started. I used to go into all the schools and talk to all the girls. I don't get to do that as much as I'd like, and I don't get to do it very much anymore because I'm off on so many other things trying to get done with Women of Tomorrow. But you know, it's those kids that would run up to me that really are the reason the program exists. I mean, you know, the first 10 years I started the program, I was still on television. And so everyone knew that I was the founder of the program, that Donna and I were founders. And so I would be somewhere, you know, walking down the street, and some kid would run up to me and say, oh my God, Miss Vellapi, you saved my life. You saved my life. And I'd be like, what? You know, and she'd say, no, you know, I'm part of the Women of Tomorrow Mentor and Scholarship Program. And you don't know, I was going to kill myself, or I was in this abusive relationship, or I was being sexually abused by an uncle, or, you know, I had no interest in school. I was going to drop out. I was a teen mother and I didn't know what to do. And I thought my life would be over, you know, and they would come up to me and they would tell these stories. And I'd be like, wow, that's like outrageous, you know? And it was the reason I stayed with the program for so many years. The very first year when we started the program, I said, I brought in a psychologist and I said, I want to do some research and see if we can increase to a statistically significant degree the self-esteem of the young girls from the beginning of the school year till the end. And it was a woman by the name of Dr. Lana Stern. And she said, you know, Jennifer, you're ridiculous. You're setting yourself up for failure. There is no way going in once a month into the public school system, you know, and mentoring these girls for 1 hour once a month over the course of a year, like maybe 8 times you're going to have contact with them, is going to do anything. You know, don't set yourself up for failure. And I was like, well, you know, I'm asking people to do this on a whim. You know, I just have an idea. And if we're not doing anything, if we're not accomplishing anything, then I don't want to stick with it. So we went in and we did the research and we found out that we did increase the self-esteem to a statistically significant degree. So that made me go back to our mentors and say, can we do this again? And then by the third year, one of our mentors, a woman by the name of Marita Shrebnik, and her husband, George Feldenkrais, who is the owner of Perry Ellis, came to me and said, you know, we're motivating these girls to graduate from high school, but they're telling me, so what? Now I'm graduating, I'm all excited, I'm so motivated, but I can't go to college, I can't afford it. So Marita and George started our very first scholarship fund. They actually threw a New Year's Eve party for the millennium and said they, you know, charged their friends to come in, basically. And we put that together and got matching funds from the state and created the first scholarship fund. So that was kind of the genesis of how it, you know, how it went. And it was those girls who every year, as we grew bigger and bigger and bigger, and it became so much work and so much work, and I was running it out of the television station, and it, you know, there were so many challenges and fundraising challenges to keep the program running, and how are we going to, you know, how do we pay to operate this program and to do it properly? And it became such a challenge, and every time I would get discouraged, some kid would come running up to me and say, you know, this program saved my life. And then I'd say, well, no, I mean, didn't really save your life. I mean, maybe it changed your life. And then they'd tell me some crazy story. And I'd go, oh, my God, I get it. It did save your life. And I guess if it really means that much, you know, it's not that hard for me to do. How can I not do it? So I just kept doing it year after year after year. And every time there was a greater challenge, some kid would come up to me and, you know, we'd figure out a way to make it work.
And 20 years later, 4,500 at-risk girls each year, 200 high schools in dozens of cities in South Florida, as well as the Detroit area, Philadelphia. Your list of mentors in the Detroit area is a who's who of business, of female business leaders. Jennifer, how do you keep convincing very busy, very successful women to volunteer, become mentors?
Well, that's okay. So, Jack, that's the crazy thing. You know, people always say to me, why don't you start, you know, Men of Tomorrow? Why aren't you doing Men of Tomorrow or you know, Leaders of Tomorrow? And I've thought about it so many times, but the truth is I don't know if I could get men to come out and do what these women do on a monthly basis. And, you know, what I tried to do when I set up the program was I tried to set up something that was doable, something that I could have done because I wanted to be a mentor when I was working in television, and I couldn't do it because I couldn't meet the requirements of, you know, being able to spend every Saturday, you know, one Saturday out of the month. And no, you know, my schedule was just too, I was back and forth between New York and LA all the time. I didn't have the luxury of planning my schedule that well. So I tried to create something that I could do. And we've, you know, and I just find that professional women are so amazing. They're so willing to give of their time. I mean, Ellen Hill Zerang, who is the VP of marketing for the Detroit Tigers, is our board chair in Detroit. She's a founding mentor. She's been with us from the very beginning, as has Lori Blaker at TTI Global, Lori Cunnington, you know, the president of Ward Williston Oil. I mean, these are women who really have come in and made this, they're the founders of the Detroit program. Florine Mark, you know, from Weight Watchers. These are the founders of the program. Joanne Faye Curry, who's a very prominent lawyer in town. They made this organization happen. They gave it its start, and they have stayed with it every step of the way. And it is their organization. They're the founders in Michigan, and they're the reason it succeeds. This program succeeds because our mentors are so amazing. They care so much, and they are so dedicated to our girls. And our, you know, teenagers are a phenomenal lie detector. I mean, they really are. They know if you're coming in, you know, trying to play games with them. And what happens is they realize very soon on, it usually takes a little while. It doesn't happen on the, you know, on the first or second session, but they realize that these women keep coming back because they genuinely care about them. And that is the life-changing impact of the program. That's what causes the turnaround. The magic actually happens the second year. It begins to happen the second year of the program. Our program is 3 to 4 years. You have to be in either 9th, 10th, 11th, or 12th grade in order to be in the program. We are in partnership with all the public school systems, and it is really our partnership with the school systems. They deserve as much credit as well because it's that partnership that allows this program to work and thrive. So the girls get out of school for an hour. They don't leave the grounds, but they get out of class for an hour, I should say, to come in and do the sessions with our mentors. And by the second year, you really see the magic begin to happen, and the girls make these huge turnarounds in their lives. And it's all the mentors. You know, Ann Parsons is another one of our founding mentors. She was our mentor of the year this year. She's the president and CEO of the Detroit Symphony Orchestra. And she's amazing, her dedication to these girls. The things that the stories that these girls come back and tell us about how their life was changed because of things the mentors say is really just, I mean, it's even all these years later, it's almost unbelievable. I can't imagine that our mentors have that dramatic of an impact, and they do because these girls know that they care so much, and they don't necessarily have the mentors in their lives like you and I had in ours.
We're talking to Jennifer Filoppi, and her and her mentors have transformed lives of 15,000 girls these last 20 years. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible. We're talking to Jennifer Filoppi. Jennifer, what have these girls taught you these past 20 years?
They've taught me that when you're doing something and you're on the right path, you have to stick with it, and that our responsibility and obligation to others is it's our purpose in life. You know, and whether, I don't know that I could have done this when I first got started in the business, but, you know, the time came and it is my honor and pleasure to be able to work with these girls and to work with all of our incredible mentors.
Similarly, what have these 1,000 mentors taught you, Jennifer?
That when you go out and do something for other people, you feel so much better about yourself. I always tell people, when you're depressed, when you're sad, if you think something is wrong in your life, go out and do something for someone less fortunate. It will put your whole life in perspective. Do something for someone else. And that's where you find meaning. Our mentors taught me that.
Describe for us women of tomorrow in 2020.
Well, I hope that our mentors will be our mentees, many of whom are coming back as mentors now. You know, they're grown, they're professional, they're out of colleges, and they're coming back as mentors now. So I hope that very soon they're going to be running this organization, and they're going to be telling me, you know, the direction they want to take it in.
You and Elliot Wiseman wrote a book a couple years ago entitled The Way It Was, My Life with Frank Sinatra. Tell us about Frank Sinatra.
Yeah, so the book was published this last October, at the end of October, and it's actually the story. We're co-authors, but it's really Elliot's book. I wrote it in Elliot's voice, and I had known Sinatra. I was absolutely crazy about him. I met him at his 73rd birthday party, I think. I was about 28 years old and in Beverly Hills, and he was just an amazing guy, and I met Elliot, who was his manager for the last 20 years of his life and who had amazing stories, and one night we were all sitting around with he and his wife talking about, you know, Frank's stories after Frank had passed away, and I said, you know, Elliot, you really should write a book, and he said, write it for me. So 12 years later, fast forward, and we wrote the book, and it was really to honor a guy who truly was one of the coolest men on the planet. I mean, I adored him. When I first met him, I didn't think he wasn't really my generation. I wasn't thinking that much about it. And by the time I walked away, I was like, wow, the guy's amazing. I really loved him. So not only was he an incredible talent, but he was an incredible human being and a great philanthropist, quietly and privately.
You grew up in Allen Park. You get a job in Flint, Michigan. Then you get a job in West Palm Beach, New York City, Miami. You and your mentors have changed the lives of 15,000-plus young girls. Do you ever pinch yourself, Jennifer, and or ask God, why me?
Well, I think I'm a little focused more on the things that still need to be done. I believe that Women of Tomorrow really needs to thrive. I want a full expansion in the Detroit area. That requires, I want to be, we're in 50 public high schools in Detroit now, mentoring about, 1,200 girls a year. We need to be in at least 100 public high schools in Detroit, and we need to be mentoring 3,000 girls a year in the Detroit area. We need to grow this program. I believe it needs to be in every public high school in a major city in this country. And I say major city because that's where we get our economies of scale, where we're able to actually financially support the program. Those are big fundraising challenges. And so that's what I focus on now. But I can't leave it where it is. I mean, it's been so impactful and so powerful. I need to continue to grow it. So maybe when we hit that big national expansion number, then I'll be able to look back and pinch myself a little bit. By the way, Girls on Track is our big fundraiser that's going to be at the M1 Concourse coming up on September 12th. in Pontiac. We don't have a lot. I don't have a lot of details at this point, but it's going to be an incredible night. I'm sure you'll be able to get tickets and find out more about it on womenoftomorrow.org. So I hope everybody will come out to that because it's going to be fabulous. I've never been to the M1 Concourse, Ooh. And I'm dying to go. So I'll be there.
It's unbelievable. In Pontiac, Brad Olashinsky and his team done a phenomenal job. So, arguably the greatest motivational speaker of our lifetime, Jennifer, was Zig Ziglar. And the first book he ever wrote, See You at the Top, 41 times in that book, he says, quote, you can get everything in life you want if you will just help enough other people get what they want. Is that still true today?
Well, I do believe that, you know, when you put good things out into the universe, good things come back. I mean, I am a believer in the law of karma, I guess, if you want to put it that way. There's a lot of different ways to do it. But sure, I mean, if you want to feel good about yourself, you do something for somebody else. And, you know, and once you do that, it changes your life and your perspective. So, yeah, the more you do for other people, the more it comes back to you. I'm convinced of that. But you don't do things for other people with the idea that it's going to come back to you. You do things for other people because it's the right thing to do. And when you do the right thing, I guess life just works out. I don't know. I guess that's karma. I don't know what it is. But to that extent, yes, I believe that.
As our time winds down together this evening, what advice do you give to our young listeners, specifically young girls out there tonight?
Follow your dreams. Believe in yourself. Know you can do it. I mean, it's all old stuff. There's nothing new there. But, you know, the most important person to believe in you is you. And, you know, that's what it's all about. And while you're out there, do something for somebody else, you know, and just put your life in the direction you want to put it. Every step you take takes you one step closer to your future. So every step is important. And that's especially critical for young people to realize.
You are a phenomenal example of believing in yourself and doing the right thing. Please keep up the great, great work.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure talking to you and to get to know you, and I look forward to seeing you in Pontiac, hopefully in September.
God bless. Please join us next Saturday. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spall.
Believe in yourself.